Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the fourth edition of the Jabbercast for the week of
October 15th, 2006. I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How you doing, Big JD?
I'm doing pretty good. Got myself a green tea, sitting here and kicking back in the Woodsley studio.
Woodsley.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, other than the fact I have two tubes up my nose and I can't breathe out of it, but...
Still got the tubes.
Still got the tubes up until Tuesday. October 17th is when I'm getting them out. 2 days from now.
Wow. That's a little while to have those in there. How far do they go up?
Right up to here. Right up to where the bone stops.
That's a little ways up.
It's all the way up.
Can you pick that nose or no?
No picking. You got a lot of Q-tips. Whew.
Wow.
Yeah.
They hurt or anything, or are they just annoying?
Uncomfortable, and you can't breathe, and you breathe out of your mouth all the time.
He got his nose fixed, and he can't breathe.
That's right. But when I'm done, I'll sound way better.
Yeah, well.
Because I don't sound very good otherwise.
That'll be nice to get back to your old regular
breathing. Well, don't be old regular. I'll be brand new is what I'll be.
Brand new. He's going to have a brand new voice.
It's brand new Lippo with, ooh, you're cracking. It's brand new Lippo.
Brand new Lippo. Same old JD.
No.
So what's this week's show on?
The rules that kids should follow according to Big JD and Lippo.
Haha.
I myself am a parent of two, one teenager, one preteen, and Jeff is a...
I'm a non-parent.
Non-parent. Now, what happened with
that?
But
I have rules for kids.
I'm sure you do. And you base your rules on what? Your childhood?
Partially, sure. Yeah. Some of the way I was brought up. And I think that I think everybody has some type of opinion formulated as far as how they think kids should act and what kind of rules should be enforced for them. I don't think that everybody would just go around saying that, oh, kids should go to bed anytime they want. Kids should have any kind of food they want, any candy. Watch as much TV as you want. I mean, people have built up, you know, some kind of system, rule system for kids, I think, even if they don't have them.
Yes, I agree.
Stemming probably from their own childhood.
I know one couple that they're not even together anymore, but they had seven kids, and they would let the kids go to bed whenever they want and wherever they wanted.
And did you see these kids grow up? Are they grown up now? Couple are in jail.
The oldest daughter, she got pregnant when she was 15.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's all I know as far as that goes.
Now, I wonder if the parents look back on that and think, you know, we should have maybe done this differently.
Well,
except the dad's in jail and the mother's drunk, so.
No,
I'm just, I don't know. I don't know them.
So. Yeah, and they're not even together anymore, so.
Oh, okay.
So the whole thing was obviously out
of whack.
I'm
sure there's a lot of that, though. That type of thing, you know, the non-caring, you know, parents just let them do whatever. And then the parents probably did the same thing when they were growing up. Parents went around maybe, and or they just did whatever they want. Or
yeah, that could be.
I can't see in a normal situation where kids had a curfew and a bedtime and how much television to make sure you get your homework done and do this, that, and the other thing, and then let their kids run rampant when they have them. I can't really see that.
No, I can't see that either.
Anything's possible, but I mean, under most circumstances, I would think if you were brought up a certain way, you tend to instill those values on your kids.
Or not.
Or not.
Like if you knew deep in your heart that the way that you were brought up
was wrong, maybe.
Was wrong,
yeah, sure.
And you realize that, you know, I turned out bad because...
Yeah, I got to bring my kids up this way or they're going to turn out like me.
Exactly. I think that's partly me as well. Like I think we all learn from our parents' mistakes. And especially my parents, they grew up in a, you know, totally different time. When I think parents now are more sensitive to what kids need to become successful in life. Otherwise, you know, whereas back in the day, it was, you know, either you could afford to go to college or you couldn't go to college and, you know, you have to get a good job or whatever. You had to do good in school. And I think it was obviously a simpler time. But I think a lot of parents are now more in tune to what it takes for children to become successful.
Parents, sure. I don't think the kids are. I think the kids are learning less and less as
time's
going on here.
Yeah, I think in the compromise, the kids are losing out.
The same thing we were probably told when we were little, that we're not going to realize for a long time. The parents know best, and you're going to realize this later, or you're going to, you know, you may not think of this now, but come a time when you get older and you look back and you say, you know, wow, if I had known the things I know now and the things that my parents were trying to teach me and tell me and the rules they were trying to set on me, if I'd have followed some of those, things would have turned out for the better probably.
Only if.
In a lot of situations. But some of the rules for kids, like I had mentioned, television and curfews and punishments and things like that. What about, let's talk about TV. How much TV should kids watch? We're talking kids, not teens or anything. Teens are, they know everything, so it doesn't matter.
Obviously.
But, I mean, you know, young kids, how much TV should they watch? Did you watch? Let your kids watch anything that they wanted? And
no, we were pretty, not strict, but as far as the content they got to watch, we were on top of it pretty much.
What about cartoons? Were they banging each other on the head? And is that okay?
That's okay. Cartoons banging on the head.
I would think so, yeah. You can't grow up without Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, and South Park. No, maybe not South Park. But would you let your kids watch South Park if they were little?
No, if they're little. Probably not. No.
Yeah.
They like watching it now. They're all pissed off because now it used to be on at 11:30, and now it's on at 1.
Oh, 1 in the morning now?
1 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So my kids are kind of bummed because on Fridays we let them stay up and watch it at 11:30. Now it's 1. They don't even want to stay up.
Yeah. They're just
too late for them. But as far as the content, when you're small children, I think it is very influential on your children. And if you let them watch too much of it, it becomes too influential as well. And your influence on them becomes diminished, I believe.
Yeah. And not only the influential thing, but the fact that more time spent there is less time spent on schoolwork, housework, other things that you may have or need them to do or want them to learn or
exactly
grow up doing.
Even I think preschool, where the kids are, they're very formidable years from 2 to 5. I think, I think kids really are molded into a pretty good indication of what they're going to be later on in their childhood during the 2 to 5 year old stage in their life. And letting them watch too much TV is not a good idea. But I know how hard it is, especially if you have more than one child, and then you have a new child, you have a newborn, and you have another kid.
Right, who can watch other things or do other things, and then
yeah, and the amount of sleep you get, you turn your TV into a babysitter, and you really got to watch yourself because it's just so easy to plop the kid down, lay on the couch, and just veg out, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Start to use it as a tool for pastime for the kids when maybe you shouldn't.
That's right. It's a problem, I think.
I think duct tape is better.
Using duct tape on your kids?
You just strap them up someplace in a corner somewhere, and you can even face them into the corner and.
As long as they have like a straw duct tape to their face so if they get thirsty, they can drink or something.
I suppose. You let them have water once in a while.
Did they have duct tape when you were a kid?
Oh, I think duct tape's been around forever. I'm still sticky from it. My hair never grew in.
I honestly don't remember duct tape when I was a child. I don't remember, actually.
I do. My dad was really into the garage thing, being outside and doing all kinds of stuff in the garage. We always had duct tape. It was a big thing for me growing up.
Really?
Always duct tape and the oil and WD-40 and that kind of thing.
Sure.
That stuff was tools.
But duct tape, I don't know, it was like pretty expensive when it first started coming out, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
duct tape was always the most expensive. And even when you did buy a roll, in a lot of cases, unless you got industrial stuff or something or from a place of work or whatever, sometimes it was expensive, but the roll was very thin.
It'd be
like, you know, $4 or $5 for a roll of duct tape, but it was a thin roll. It wasn't like a big, you know, and electrical tape was a big thing too when I was growing up.
Love that electrical tape.
Sure.
But anyway, back to we're digressing, which that's what we're here for. It's called the Jabbercast, and we're jabbering.
Yeah. Next week's show is on duct tape. No, I'm just kidding.
It's the Red Green Duct Tape Show. We're going to have Red Green in the studio with us.
Oh, I don't even say that now. People will be expecting it.
No, I'm sorry.
We'll be flooded with emails and Skype and iChat. But okay, so there's television. How about punishment? What kind of punishments are people instilling on their kids?
Well, I think obviously more parents are not hitting their kids. Corporal punishment.
I find good points and bad points about that. I think kids need to be whacked.
No,
I think that's a definite way that kids will learn, you know, not to. I think if there's an issue with the kid and they're not going to take things the right way and eventually they're going to, you know, some of them, maybe they hate their parents because they think that they beat them or they, you know, things like that are kind of ridiculous, I think. I watch sometimes parents dealing with their kids and they just do the same things over and over and over and over and over. If that kid got whacked one time, he would never do that again.
Now hold on.
I know that for a fact.
How old are we talking as far as whacking goes?
Well, I'm not saying really little babies, although whack them on the hand, maybe they'll cry. But they're not going to, you know, they're going to learn. I'm not saying to hurt them, you know what I mean? But a few years old, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Well, there's got to be an age range where, like, you know, my son.
I don't know, man. I got that belt through high school.
Did you?
I don't really remember the last time that I got it, but I know I was probably too old to get beat to death, and I still did.
Oh, yeah. my dad was beating high school kids. That's for sure.
Until they learn.
Until they learn.
Yeah. Young kids that need to be smacked. I think most people probably generally know the age I'm talking. I don't have kids, so I don't really associate age so much. I'd say three to six, seven, eight.
Yeah,
need to be whacked sometimes. That's right. What I think.
Just
not by anybody, but I mean by their parents. Of course. I don't really think other people should be whacking their kids, even if they're babysitting or anything like that. But
and what kind of whacking are we talking about?
I think a hand whacking.
A hand.
Maybe a smack on the body, but a smack in the hand is probably really good. Not a smack in the face or on the head or anything like that. I don't think kids should be whacked in the head.
Right.
Maybe a yardstick or wooden spoon or something. That happened to kids back in the day. Why can't it happen now? I think kids learn from that, or they, you know, even if they didn't learn, they knew. If I do that, I'm getting whacked.
That's right.
A switch.
I've been switched.
Yeah, I've been switched. I've been tree branched to death.
Tree branch. There's a good tool of destruction for your kid.
Yeah.
We'll beat this kid into submission. No, I'm just kidding. As far as my experience goes, I think, like I said, when they're really young, if you do hit them on the bottom and you make them cry because they knew they did something wrong, they knew there was going to be some kind of actual physical consequence to doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I think there's a trigger in our brains that...
Sure, there definitely is.
...that controls that behavior. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to control behavior. We did hit our kids on the bottom like once if they were really bad. But as they got older, I think that switch was on in their head and they rarely...
Yeah, they probably didn't need it at that time, but if they, you know,
right.
They know that, you know, I can't do this. I'm going to get whacked.
Whereas my son now is like, he's 13 years old. He's bigger than me. You know, I can't actually hit him.
You got to be careful now. He's going to be whacking you.
He'll be peeing.
You don't do that, Dad. The pulling of the ears and the pulling of the hair and the whacking in the face or the head, I don't think that's a good thing. I think I tend to see the look on little kids' faces because I see that once in a while, or the grabbing of the arm and just shaking them to death. I don't think that's very good. I think the value that instills in them is that, you know, I don't like my mother. I don't, you know what I mean?
It's demeaning.
Yeah. The whacking, I think at some point the kid's going to realize that it's for their own good, even if it's later in life.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
whereas the political correctness of hitting anybody for anything.
Yeah.
We become such a, what do you call that, a gentle, kindler society, I think is.
And you got to realize, I think, probably to tell your kids, too. You don't just whack them for no reason. You're going to get whacked because blah, blah, blah. You're going to get hit because of this or, you know, yet still have them know that hitting is wrong. You know, it's not right. It's unfortunate maybe that they have to get hit. But, you know, as you're growing up or you start school and kindergarten and grade one, like, you know, hitting is not a good thing. You don't want to hit, you know. There's reasons when hitting is okay and not okay. And I think as even though I think kids are little and people think they may not understand, but I think still telling them somewhere along the line, it just clicks in. So,
yep, it's a clicking in thing for sure, yeah. I think.
And then there's food.
What about food?
I don't know. You let your kids eat anything when they're little? Do people just let them eat, you know, all the candy they want and all the chocolate they want and all the... I mean, you're supposed to, I guess, because you're a kid. I did. I had whatever I want. I don't think there was ever a time anybody stopped me from eating anything.
You were off to Chuck's.
But, yeah, Chuck's variety, black teeth.
Black teeth. Eating sponge toffee.
I think that if I had kids, I'd want them to enjoy and experience all the goodies and candy that they could. But
just like
I guess,
everything.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Got to come into play. You don't want them full of sugar. You don't want them maybe contracting diabetes or anything else from eating too much of whatever, or you don't want them only eating that.
I think that's what Halloween is
for. I'd start
them
off with peas and Brussels sprouts.
Sure.
And then that's what they'd be accustomed to.
Exactly.
If not, they get whacked. No.
I was going to say, oh, Halloween. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what Halloween's for. You let those kids, here's your Halloween candy. Eat as much as you want. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, then they realize, yeah,
oh, I ate way too much. I'm going to be sick. So there's another physical trigger in their head. If I eat too much candy, I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, I won't vouch for that one because I eat till I'm junk till I'm sick still. And I say, I'm never going to do it again. The next Sunday comes, boy. Can't wait to get that cake, cookies, and ice cream. In fact, we got some nice chocolate chip cookies here right from the bakery.
What bakery?
Those are from Black's Bakery. This moment brought to you by Black's Bakery, Windsor, Ontario, Canada. They owe us.
Well, you got to give them their phone number, their address, or their email address or something.
Well, not till I discuss free cookies.
Free cookies.
That's right. Give us free cookies, we do a little advertising.
That's a good idea. I love that. Mm-hmm. But how do you get your kids to eat good, healthy foods?
Well, whacking is good. switching and to eat good food, I think maybe starting them off early. I think there's got to be a point early in their time where they don't know any better to eat the foods that they're not going to want to eat a few years later when they don't want peas and don't want Brussels sprouts and they don't want cauliflower and broccoli. I think they should eat it early, as soon as they can eat the hard food. I mean, from the baby food all mushed up, that's probably what they get anyway, that and their mother's
right.
milk.
Right.
Then later on, they start eating some vegetables, I think, from early on, because I think kids are started off with maybe some of the wrong foods, like more candy and goodies and things like that when they're little.
That's bad
and
news.
That's what they like right away. And then who likes to taste? Who wants to eat peas and Brussels sprouts after you've had chocolate and cake?
That's exactly.
You'd never want it.
No.
You'd sit at that dinner table and till hell froze over before you ate that crap.
I want dessert now.
But I think if you started them off early, and I would think looking back at me, I mean, if I had eaten some of that like when I was really really little, then I'd probably be enjoying it all the time.
Sure. From my own experience, that was just what was on the table. That was what was in the house. There was the goody thing was you go collect pop bottles and go to the drugstore and find your own goodies. When you're in this house, you're eating nothing but good food. Yeah.
Well, that's good. We had lots of goodies in our house. So
did you? Yeah.
We grew up eating goodies.
Yeah, there was no goodies in my house.
Honey sandwiches.
Honey
Took
sandwiches.
Peanut butter and sugar sandwiches for lunch. School. Peanut butter on a piece of bread.
Right.
Pour some regular sugar on it.
Yeah.
Fold it in half.
And
there you go, buddy.
Where did the honey come in?
Oh, the honey was just honey on crackers and honey on everything. I don't know.
But honey
was
a big peanut butter,
thing.
Though.
Oh, peanut butter and honey. Yeah, sure. Some people never had that before.
That's insane.
I've known people not to have peanut butter and honey. 30-some years old.
Do you ever put cinnamon on that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Cinnamon. I have cinnamon in my pocket right now.
Pour some cinnamon on it, honey.
Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else about food? I know from my own experience, my one son has an amazing range of what he wants to eat. He'll eat anything spicy or sushi or, you know, and he loves his vegetables and potatoes, and he's just right into that kind of food.
And then the other one?
And the other one, if it's deep fried or it's got some breading on it, it's good for him. That's Jonas. That's what he's into. Whereas he won't eat a lot of the stuff that my younger one will eat.
Yeah, it's odd. We're just all made up differently.
And we feed them the same food.
And you kind of brought up the same, but eventually our own personalities and genes and whatnot all come into play. And taste. Taste has got to change at some point in time. I know I liked some things when I was little, like raisins, that I just couldn't stand right now. Can't eat a raisin. If I go somewhere and ask if there's raisins in it or you know, get served something, I tell them I'm allergic to raisins, and I'll die right here on your floor if there's raisins in that. Just so they know that, oh, okay, you don't want that. I'm not allergic to them, but I mean, I just want to stress the fact that I don't want raisins. You want to take a Skype call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we have Terry here on the line, and he's just going to give us his opinion on child spanking.
Yeah, well, I was listening to you, and One thing I don't do is I don't do that. I take a hands-off approach, which means that there's other ways to discipline, and I've got basically four of them. You know, my daughter gets an allowance, and if she doesn't do what she's told, you know, she knows that when she's told to do something, she has to do it. If she gets told repeatedly, it costs her with her allowance. Or another way to do it is I used to have a timeout chair. You know, she's bad, put her in the timeout chair. But consistency is the key as far as disciplining your child. You can't allow them to run around the house for a half hour doing what they want, then tell them to stop. Sends a bad message, sends a wrong message.
Right. Just out of curiosity, what would you say to the parents who taking allowance away doesn't work, or taking anything away from them doesn't work?
Well, the thing is, you got to look at it. Like I said, it's consistency. If you're not consistent with your child, you're sending mixed messages. So taking the allowance away or taking TV privileges away will only work if it's consistent. Like, there has to be consistency there.
Okay, so I suppose even taking away TV privileges or allowance, if it doesn't work right away and you're consistent with it,
they will
eventually get tired of it, yeah.
Exactly. They will get the message. And same thing with, like, if my daughter's bad and she's not doing as she's told, it doesn't hurt to give them a page of lines and reinforce that. Because if you make them write out, I will listen when I'm told, and you have them do it from start to finish, not going down the sheet, but across, and writing out that sentence, make sure that that sentence is written out every time. It reinforces what you're trying to tell them, the message you're trying to send them, and it puts it in their brain. And it also helps. It helps with their writing skills too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The lines one's pretty good. Well, appreciate your call, and thanks for your opinion.
Not a problem. Love your show, man. Keep it up.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Why don't we move on to this week's Jabber Quote, brought to you by the now famous Stephen Larry.
Stephen Larry?
Sure.
Okay. Who's Stephen Larry?
From work. They gave me 1,000 quotes and proverbs and whatnot to use on our shows. And mentioned before, we got enough for a lifetime of Jabbercast now.
We should have used those two names ourselves instead of Lipo Big GD. I love those two names go together so perfect.
Yeah. Stephen Larry.
Isn't that
ice cream? Stephen Larry's ice cream.
Ben and Jerry's. Your entourage is really...
So you come on down to Stephen Larry. Oh, yeah.
Dung, dung, dung.
Come on down to Stephen Larry's, folks. We'll fix your car up right.
Hey, it's the Jabber Quote of the Week, where we dissect quotes, proverbs, and sayings. The Jabber Quote of the Week.
This week's Jabber Quote, brought to us by Stephen Larry, is...
It's right up your alley, too, Jeff, since you're Mr. Sower guy.
Oh, a stitch in time saves nine.
Stitch in time saves nine.
Let's dissect that. Okay, let's start with A.
Okay. Now, it's just one, singular.
Sure.
Singular.
It's not plural at all.
That's right.
No, A.
Right.
Sometimes known as A. Okay.
That's
stitch.
Right. Stitch.
Stitch, well.
Okay, right. Silly.
Maybe we shouldn't dissect it that brutally.
That's micro-secting.
Yeah.
Okay, a stitch. A stitch in time saves nine. What, you want to know what I think it means?
Yeah, of course I do.
Because obviously I have a very warped sense
He doesn't think it has anything to do with sewing.
No, it doesn't anyway, though. No,
what am I saying?
A stitch in time saves nine. I think it has the same connotation as an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure kind of thing.
Okay, so obviously we don't use that one in a show.
That's right, because we have tons. Because Stephen Larry has given us the whole shitload of jabber quotes. Okay, I'll tell you what I think it means. It has something to do with the same connotation as an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's what I think of it as. Like, you do a little bit of work right now, and you'll save yourself a lot of trouble later on.
I think that what it refers to is the fact that if you take care of something now, you relieve yourself of maybe a bigger problem later. If you get that stitch in time, you're not going to end up with nine of them later. Do something in time instead of putting it off, and you don't have to worry about a bigger issue later, or it cutting into more of your time later, possibly. An example, maybe? You have an example of that?
Of a stitch in time saves nine?
Maybe. How about your car?
I was going to say.
Getting something fixed on the car. Maybe you have a little noise under the hood, and you bring it in right away to see what it is and get it taken care of, or think that, it's just a small thing, I'll wait, and then it builds up, and that problem leads to another and another and another, and then you're at the side of the road in a tow truck, and you have to get your car towed into somewhere and pay the extra for towing now, and also the problem led to this, and this broke this, and this snapped that, and this leaked all over here, and now we got to fix everything.
We only mentioned seven things, so there.
Okay. So that stitch in time, taking care of it right away, would have saved you the extra hassle, so... Which
yes.
I'm sure that you thought was the same thing.
So. Yes, that's exactly what I thought.
Pretty straightforward one.
And if people would like to send us their jabber quote and what they think it means, we'll put it on the show.
Send it to Stephen Larry. They have to okay it first, and then we can...
Steve and Larry's got to say it's okay. So you can send us your jabber quote of the week and your little explanation. Send it to the show if you want, and you can do that by emailing us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. And you can also visit our website, too, and check out some pictures of us and some other pertinent information dealing with the show. And that, of course, is at www.thejabbercast.com.
Okay. And as well, we encourage our listeners to send us text emails or audio emails, or we're going to try and make sure that we, especially in the near future, have our show recording time up so that you know when to contact us over iChat, AIM, or Skype. And our username for either iChat, AIM, or Skype is The Jabbercast. So you can contact us that way. And as well, I think we're going to set up an MSN Messenger.
Sure.
Jabbercast, so we can get some feedback from you that way and get you on the show live, possibly audio, possibly just texting us at the time, or send us the email, hearmeout@thejabbercast.com.
Sure. And we're shooting for Sunday mornings, I think.
I think that's what we're going to shoot for, yeah. Sunday mornings, time to be disclosed, but I think maybe 10 o'clock would be a good time to say. So we'll keep you informed of that on the site. So
that's right.
Watch for that. Jabbercast.com.
Exactly.
Big JD and Lippo.
Back to the kids. What time should our kids go to bed, Jeff?
Kids should go to bed very early if you have an active sex life.
And if you don't, you don't have
if you
an active
don't,
sex
life. The kids can stay up all night long. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I think there's a time when kids should go to bed at a certain time because I think they need their rest. And
why,
as well,
why do you think kids need rest?
So they can get up early and play the next day.
Exactly.
The cat's life, practically.
I honestly think sleep is wickedly directly related to growth.
And their learning process, for sure.
Because I noticed my kids slept in later than they ever did during this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
We just let them sleep in. It's summertime. Who cares? Sleep until whatever. And my kids grew this past summer, both of them.
Oh, you're talking physically growth.
Physical growth, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's when they're growing.
There's an experiment. Maybe you should have a couple more.
I can't.
The other
I'm
way.
Done.
You done?
I'm done. I've emptied the barrel of all the ammunition.
There's another show.
What, shooting blanks?
Yeah. A Western theme. Yeah, I definitely think there's should be some kind of time frame on when kids shouldn't just be able to stay up until they're tired. I think they should go to bed at a certain time to get a certain amount of sleep.
And it should be regular, don't you think?
And I think it should be regular. Weekends, they could stay up a little later. And they should be as quiet as possible when there's guests in the house. And no, I think it's good for them. And not only do they get a required amount of sleep and maybe have that clear mind that they need and not tired the next day or whatnot, especially as they get a little older and start getting into school and stuff like that. You know, they want to go to bed at a certain time. And I think it helps with the learning process and also gives them some type of a regimen, routine, you know, that some things have to be done at a certain time. And that's the way it goes. You sure. can't be on the phone now, maybe, if you're, you know, well, little kids aren't generally on the phone, but I mean, you can't do this, this, and this because you got to go to bed. How about rewards? Like an allowance, a reward for doing something good? What do you think about that? Young kids get a little bit of money to go down to the store and get themselves some candy?
Positively.
Allowance is good.
A good rule of thumb that we use is a dollar for every age, for however old you are. For right now, that seems to be working for us.
Wow. Wait till they're old men. Yeah. Come knocking at your door.
No, sorry. That ain't gonna happen.
$87 this week, Dad. You'll be like 140.
I'll be 100 and something, that's for sure. I'll be 100.
Still working to
87, I'll be
give your kids an allowance.
No, sorry. It's not going to work out that way.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of parents have lots of different guidelines they go by with an allowance, but I think probably most kids get some type of an allowance, eh? It's a big thing.
I think they should. It teaches them something. You give them some money, and then if they blow it, they blow it.
Sure.
But
they're not stealing it out of their mother's purse.
That's right, until they get to be teenagers when they need
when you do that.
Then you need the drugs that are way more expensive than your allowance money.
Right.
That's right. And that's just to start with, because once you get the drugs, you can start selling them, and then you're making your own money.
There you go. How to deal. Teaching kids how to deal, the next show. Yeah, an allowance is definitely a good thing, and something that's a reward for some things, maybe, you know, you take care, you know, do the household chores and whatnot,
yes.
You know, things like that. And
they learn.
We give you an allowance for something. It's not just for nothing.
Right.
I don't think it should be.
Yeah. You learn. You do this, you get this.
Sure.
And then we have like the little bonus system, you know, if we've got a very specific, bigger job for you to do, we're going to give you some money for it.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Money's always good for kids.
Sure. What about money management for kids? What do you think about that?
Well, with a computer now, and the young age that kids are on the computer, there's lots of great money management software for them. Three-year-old with Quicken, 2007, for Mac OS X. Money management for kids. Well, I think parents should definitely teach them that. You know, if you save your money, you know, you take it right now and go to the store, you're going to have candy, you're not going to have any money. Maybe spend half of it. Maybe save it this week and next week if you wanted something special or, you know, things like that, I guess you would teach.
You
is what
that's
I would
good
think
idea.
As a non-parent.
Okay.
I did get an allowance when I was younger and soon realized that if I saved a little bit of it, I can get something bigger.
That's good. I'm just wondering. I mean, some parents just give the money and say, I know. They'll learn.
Yeah.
They'll learn them. But I honestly think
some
they
learn,
don't learn.
Some won't.
Yeah. I don't think.
Most won't.
That's right. They got minds like children.
Sure. But instilling some kind of money management into the kids is a good thing for sure. Okay. So we're pretty much done with the rules for kids there. I mean, we could talk for the next 3 weeks on it probably. Next week, folks, we're going to bring you something special. Right off the bat.
It's special
already. Fairly new program, and we got something special for you. It's the Verses show. No, it's not church, synagogue, and the Bible. Verses as in coffee versus tea, bacon versus sausage.
Girl versus boys.
Yeah, man versus woman. Big JD versus Lippo.
Straight versus gay.
Frying versus, well, frying versus grilling. Camping versus motels.
Sure.
You know, which do you find that you like better on which end of the scale, perhaps?
Yeah, well, there'll probably be more than one Verses show, I have to think.
It's a big topic, but I think we can have some fun with that, and maybe we'll find out, too, from some of our listeners, which side of the fence you're on, and what are the pros and cons of some of these different things that kind of verse each other? Like, a great example is the coffee versus tea.
Sure.
Who drinks coffee? Who drinks tea? Why do you prefer one over the other?
What about capitalism versus communism?
Sure. See all the things that come to mind. So you're definitely going to want to get in touch with us for that, and we'll be recording next Sunday morning. You can reach us on iChat. You can reach us on AIM. You can reach us on Skype. You can reach us on MSN Messenger. And it'll all be our username is the Jabbercast. So you'll find us online at that time. I'd say about 10 a.m. Sunday morning. You can visit the website www.thejabbercast.com. And send all your emails, comments, opinions, and anything that you'd like to send us to get put on the show to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. And as well, of course, you can reach Big JD at thejabbercast.com and
Lippo@thejabbercast.com.
We hope to hear from you for next week's show.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast, talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo@thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo, all rights reserved, listener feedback heard, some conditions apply, open mind sold separately.